Sermon text for today is Ephesians 5, 21 through 24, but I'm going to read 21 through 33 for full context. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, we're going to begin the message this morning a bit differently. We're going to have a testimony from Joanna Johnson. Joanna, you can come on up. Last week, after Nathan's message on the same text I'm preaching today on submission, Joanna had sent an email to a couple of people that was then sent to me about how she was praying for some marriages that were in trouble and was testifying of God's grace in her own life by giving her some radical change, heart change and mind change about the idea of submission. And so it was encouraging to me and to us, and so we wanted to have her share some of that with you. So if you would just give your attention as she testifies of God's grace.
Oh, I can't see over it. I was worried I wouldn't be able to see over the podium. Submission is a scary word, especially for a controlling person. It's giving up control. And for me, submission was an issue for most of our marriage. For many years, I controlled my husband, had the upper hand, all in the name of independence. After all, I was an independent woman. I remember praying one night for the Lord, not for the Lord, I remember praying to the Lord one night for him to change my husband. When the Holy Spirit spoke to me about marriage and submission, he said, my lack of submission wasn't in the name of independence at all. It was a heart issue. I couldn't submit to my husband because I wouldn't submit to the Lord. I wouldn't submit out of fear. Fear of being let down. Fear of being hurt. And the fear of losing control or being controlled. And the reality is, I didn't have any control. I was being controlled by my fear. I didn't trust the Lord to take care of me, and I certainly didn't trust my husband. That's when the journey started. And I would love to say that night after I was done praying, I walked out of there a submissive wife. But that wasn't the truth at all. The truth is, it was a grueling 5-year journey. And I'm still learning. I had to stop saying I would change when my husband would, and you can fill in the blank because I had every excuse in the book. It's not easy when you have to look at yourself instead of pointing fingers. However, I can share, once I was able to get in line with authority, my marriage changed, and not because my husband changed, but because I had. I stopped trying to control my life and my husband. I learned to trust the Lord, and I learned to trust Matt. I learned that if I really wanted the marriage of my dreams, I had to do it God's way instead of my way, every day, even if it wasn't convenient for me. But the greatest lesson I learned coming under my husband's authority is submission is not a dictatorship, and it's not a sign of weakness. It's protection and a sign of greatness. And I cannot tell you how many times Matt has shielded me from trouble. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, on that, would you join me in prayer, just thanking God and asking him for more of the same. Father, we thank you for your work and Joanna and Matt's lives and marriage. We ask that you would continue to do that work in them and through them and in all of us. God, would you help us to, as Joanna said, submit to you and trust you. Holy Spirit, would you work in us today? God, there are distractions, not just in the room, but in our own hearts and our heads. I pray that you would remove them. Holy Spirit, would you give us a focus? Arrest us with your word today. Would you wrestle us and win? God, in ways where we can see and savor your beauty and your wisdom and your grace for us and the gifts you have given. And I pray that you would be glorified by this, Jesus. In your name we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Well, this is the second message on the same passage. Nathan's message last week was on these same verses. And as I was thinking about the text, I was trying to think of all the questions that could be asked about this, and they're just too many. There are too many issues, too many angles, too many aspects, too many questions and concerns, and there's not enough time. Even if I knew all the questions and all the answers for those questions, which I don't, there's just not enough time to answer all of the questions and to address every issue. But what I want to do this morning is I want to give you two big ideas. I want to answer some questions later on, practically, just a few, but I want to give you these two big ideas that I think are kind of general and all-encompassing, such that it will help you answer these two. If you get these two big ideas, these two general principles, that will help you to answer all the other questions that you could possibly ask. That's my goal in prayer this morning. I'm going to address this message to wives, because Paul does here in Ephesians 5:22. He says, wives, submit to your husbands. But just as every text in the Bible, while it might not be written to you, it is written for you. And so whether you are a wife here this morning or not, this message is still for you. And these two big ideas, we take in more generally, have very practical application and benefit for you as well in all of the areas of submission that you should live. And all of us have areas where we should, and people that we should submit to. As I said, this is the same passage, but not the same message that I'm going to preach, that Nathan preached last week. I'm going to connect to what he had said and build upon it as he was laying a foundation. I think he did an excellent job last week of laying the foundation for God's design for wives. And he did so primarily by asking and answering one question, the why question. Why should a Christian wife joyfully submit to her husband? And he answered this why question with four statements. He said that a Christian wife should joyfully submit to her husband because God commands it. Number two, a Christian wife should joyfully submit to her husband because God declared it to be very good. Number three, a Christian wife should joyfully submit to her husband because she is a new creation. And lastly, a Christian wife should joyfully submit to her husband because it is worship. So in my message today, I want to build upon that. I want to help you live out. I want to give you the ways you can apply and respond to what Nathan said last week, building upon this foundation by not answering the why question that he answered, but by asking and answering the how question. Not why should a Christian wife joyfully submit to her husband, but how can a Christian wife joyfully submit to her husband? And this message, I hope, will be helpful to you, whether you listen to last week's message or not, but it will be much better if you go back to, if you haven't listened to Nathan's message from last week, I encourage you to do that. And even if you have, maybe listen to it again, and God will show you new things, and ask him to do that. But I want to build upon that by asking, how can a Christian wife joyfully submit to her husband? And these are the two, I have two answers, and these are the two big ideas. The first one is this. A Christian wife can joyfully submit to her husband by rightly viewing and valuing her husband's role as head. It's by rightly viewing and valuing her husband's role as head that she can joyfully submit to her husband. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Actually, start at verse 22 where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." A right understanding of a wife's submission cannot be had apart from a right understanding of the husband's headship. Since wives are called to submit because or for their husbands are their head, you must rightly view and value headship in the home before you can rightly exercise submission in the home. I think it's really vital to understand submission in light of a correct view and valuation of headship, because far too many people have a problem with submission and they find it challenging or confusing to apply simply because they have a misunderstanding of headship. They see headship often mainly or even possibly only as making decisions for the family. Therefore, a wife's submission is confused in this. But you see, headship means much more than simply making decisions for the family. Therefore, a wife's submission must mean more than merely acquiescing to those decisions. Submission is not fulfilling your husband's every wish. Submission does require right action, but it also requires a right attitude. In fact, I think that seems to be Paul's main emphasis, his focus. We're not told the particular practical actions of submission. Do this, don't do this in these specific situations, but we are told of what attitude should be placed in place always. The submissive heart attitudes are meant to govern and guide all of those practical actions of submission. So if you don't know all of the practical ways to respond to submission, that's okay, as long as you have the right heart of submission. For from this, the right actions will follow. And the opposite is also true, sadly. If you have mere outward surface submission, doing the right thing, without the right heart of submission, it's empty. It's fake. It's an abomination to God, and it is ultimately destructive to your marriage. This is because I think, as Nathan said last week, and as Joanna just mentioned, submission is a heart issue. It's the right attitude that leads to the right action. The right attitude for a wife. That the submissive attitude that Paul is calling for is one that rightly values her husband's role as head. In essence, I think you could say that the valuing of his role is an attitude of respectfulness. Ephesians 5:33, it's the last verse in the section on marriage. Paul gives a summary verse and he says, "However, let each one of you, husbands, love his wife as himself, and let the wife see," here it is, "that she respects her husband." That she respects her husband. I think that respect is a rare thing these days. Partly because I think it's misunderstood, it's often confused. I think people confuse two different terms that I see. They overlap, but they are distinct. I think the two ideas that people often confuse are respect and admiration. You can respect somebody because of their position, and then you admire them, meaning you're pleased by and happy with how they fulfill that position. If you put President Trump and President Obama on the same stage, you're going to have some people who say, "I admire this man, not that man," and vice versa. And you're going to have some to say, "I don't admire either of them." But all of them can still respect them. You can still respect them. How is that? That's because you can admire someone for what they do and how they do it, how they live their life and show their good character. You can admire them for that. But you can also respect someone for who they are, regardless of what they do or how they live it out. You can respect someone for being an image bearer of God, a fellow American or a president of the United States, simply because of who they are. You see, God in his wisdom and in his grace has given husbands a respectable position as head. It is a valuable role. There is a weight to the husband's responsibility. There's an importance to his calling, a difficulty to his task, and a value to his role that demands respect in and of itself. So wives should submit to their husbands by respecting them, even if they don't admire them. Even if they don't even like them, they can and still should respect them because of their God-given position. But a wife's calling of submission is more than respect. It is respect, but not only. It's also about being helpful. About being helpful. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, you have the animals had already been made, all of creation, and Adam, except for Eve. She hadn't been created yet. And God brings all these animals to Adam, and he says, there's not a suitable helper. There's not one that meets him. There's not a corresponding mate for Adam. All the other animals, they have this, that he's made, they have this fit, a suitable helper, but Adam doesn't. So he forms Eve from the rib of Adam, saying from him, it'll correspond to him, she'll be like him with him, but she'll be his helper for him. So from the very first woman, every wife has always been made to be her husband's helper. Now, if you automatically feel or think that maybe that just sounds demeaning, because it's all about the husband, and then this, the wife is just supposed to kind of come alongside and support and be his helper, that's not what it is. It's not demeaning, and there's many, many reasons. I'll just give you three reasons why being a helper for your husband is not demeaning. One, because a difference of role does not mean a difference of equality. God, who created this role distinction for wives, also said that wives are equally made in God's image, and that they can be equal heirs with their husbands in the grace of life, and that they should be honored by their husbands. Wives are equal in worth with their husbands. They're just different in role. Equality does not mean sameness. Number two, reason why being a helper is not demeaning is because a divine title is an honorable title. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all referred to in the Bible as our helpers. If God, whose honor and glory are highest and beyond compare, if he can be called our helper, then surely giving a similar title and role to a wife doesn't demean her. Rather, it enhances her dignity, causing her to reflect the all-glorious one. It's not demeaning. And thirdly, why being a wife being her husband's helper is not demeaning is because a wife's help for her husband is self-benefiting. It benefits her. We're going to get back to this in just a moment. But first, let's just put these two things together. That a wife's submission is having a respectful attitude toward her husband and his role, and it is being helpful to him in his calling. So you could say that to submit means to be a respectful helper. If you want to simplify it, submission means to be a respectful helper for your husband. And as I said before, it is a wife. If a wife is to joyfully submit to her husband, she must rightly value his role as her head. This means that she is to respect his position and help him in his work. But in order for her to rightly value his role as head, she must rightly view his role as head. And if, as we've already said, it's not simply about making decisions, then what is headship all about? Well, the next 2 weeks, we're going to get into that more in depth. And so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here, but I do think we need to hit on it just a bit. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29, and just read again what God calls husbands to be and do for their wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. That passage is as beautiful and grand as it is challenging. And if I were to summarize what that is, I might paraphrase what Brian Chappell says in his excellent book. If you don't have it, I encourage you to get it. Brian Chappell has a book on marriage called Each for the Other. Each for the Other. He works his way through Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. And if I were to kind of paraphrase what he says, it would be this. A husband's headship is about using his God-given authority for the deepest and everlasting good of his family, all for the glory of God. It's where a husband is supposed to do his very best to lead his wife and his children to honor God and to experience God's blessings for them. Headship is about a husband using his God-given authority to fulfill his God-given task of sacrificially working for the good of his God-given wife, all unto God's glory. So a husband is supposed to lovingly lead his wife and family to be good and to do good, even as he sacrificially serves them, so that they experience and enjoy good with God. Biblical headship, then, is not about who gets the tie-breaking vote for which restaurant you're going to eat at tonight. That's not it. It's not about a husband always getting his way. It's the exact opposite of being selfish, actually. It's about providing for, protecting, caring for, guiding, and cherishing his wife for her highest good, for her deepest joy and for her most beneficial flourishing. Therefore, being submissive to your husband and his headship means respectfully helping him to do what? To work for, to fight for, and to sacrifice for your and your family's greatest blessings. Can you see how this is now being your husband's helper is not demeaning, but it's self-benefiting? He's supposed to work for your good, so you should help him do that. Wife is to help her husband best lead, care for, and love her and her family for their greatest good and God's highest glory. Be a respectful helper for that. You see, you need to see these two roles together. The role of headship and the role of submission must be understood together. It's absolutely necessary to connect them because you just will not and cannot joyfully submit to your husband unless you are convinced that his headship is for your good. You won't do it. Now, notice, I didn't say that you will not and cannot joyfully submit to your husband unless you are convinced that he is always intentionally working hard with wisdom and sacrifice for your good. Notice, your obedience is not dependent upon your husband's obedience. Your marriage-building, husband-loving, God-glorifying submission is not dependent on how well your husband fulfills his charge to love you. And get this. This is amazing to me. Your being blessed, your enjoying good from God and in God is dependent not on the quality of your husband's leadership and love, but on the quality of your respect and helpfulness. Did you get that? In other words, if your husband is seeking to give you loving, faithful, and wise leadership for your good, you will not experience it. You will not enjoy it as you should if you're not submitting to him. If you're not being his respectful helper, I don't care how good of a husband he is, you won't receive the benefits of it. Not as you should. And conversely, it's also true, if you are joyfully submitting to your husband, if you're being his respectful helper, then his headship is for your good, period. Even if he's a lousy husband. You have to believe that. You must be convinced of this. You must rightly view and consequently highly value your husband's role as head. Otherwise, you will not joyfully submit and you will not receive the benefits of that. Maybe at this point, maybe all along, maybe since last week, you've been kind of having these very practical questions about submission nagging you, keeping you from fully embracing this idea of submission, or just maybe keeping you from knowing how to practically live it out. I want to try to answer some of these questions that you might have. But first, can we just be honest? Can we be honest for a moment about why we struggle with submission? Why is it hard? And it is hard. We do struggle. And I mean we. All of us. Because of everyone, men or women, children or adults, all of us who have someone to submit to, and that's all of us, we do. It's challenging for us. It doesn't come easily or naturally. Why is that? It's because of fear. As Joanna said, we're afraid. Submission, it can be a scary thing because we have to rely on someone else, some other imperfect, sinful person to lead us and care for us. And we're often afraid that the consequences of submitting to such a person will be bad. So while we may want to be confident that all God-established headship is for our good, too often we still find ourselves being afraid of fully submitting. Paul says that we should be afraid. But we should be afraid of the right things and in the right way. You should not fear joyfully submitting to your husband. Like it will turn out for your bad. No, rather, you should fear Christ as Lord. That's what he says here. Look at verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's in the fear of Christ. A Christian wife can joyfully submit to her husband by not only rightly viewing and valuing her husband's role as head, but also by fearing Christ as Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord in your fear of him. The word fear here, as it translated in, as reverence in the ESV, it carries the idea of being afraid, at least in some sense in this context. It needs to be rightly understood, though, and carefully explained. So I'm going to do my best here, but just listen. You do not need to be afraid that Christ will be mean to you, that he'll be neglectful to you, that he'll somehow be deceptive or an uncaring Lord. That can't happen. And you should not in any way fear that Christ will not save you if you trust in him. No, what does the end of verse 23 says? And he is himself its Savior. He is the Savior of his church. God has promised all of his spiritual blessings to those who are in Christ by faith and so admit to him as Lord. But this means that you should be afraid of his judgment if you're not trusting in him, because he will not save you if you're not trusting in him as Savior. And here is where it gets quite practical for submission in marriage. If you are not submitting to Christ and you're not submitting to those to whom he delegates authority for you, then you will not receive the blessings and benefits of marriage that you are meant to experience. Fearing Christ means being afraid of straying from him. It means being afraid of wandering away from him and his ways. It's the kind of fear that directs you to him, that keeps you close to him, because there's no other safe place to be. It's the kind of fear that keeps you dependent upon him. You should not be afraid of obeying and trusting what he says, but you should be afraid of not trusting and obeying what he says. Thus, your fear of Christ will lead you to submit to your husband, because it is a submission to and trusting in Christ as Lord. And trusting is vital here. Nathan said it last week, submission requires faith. And I said earlier that unless you are convinced, unless you believe, unless you trust that your husband's headship is for your good, then you will not, you cannot joyfully submit to him. What's the solid ground upon which to stand to have such confidence? It's that your submission will result in good. That confidence does not lie in your husband's track record. The confidence for believing that your husband's headship is for your good does not rely in his promise to you, or in how he feels about you, or how you feel about him. It relies and it stands strong on the solid sovereign power and wisdom and care of Jesus, who promised it. He is Lord. So when you are submissive, a joyfully submissive wife, you receive good, not because you've created the good, and not because you've earned it, but because he has promised it to you in grace. No, if we're to be fair to ourselves, though, the reason why we have such problems with submission to other people is because we've been burned by other people, haven't we? People have let us down. Your husbands have let you down. Other people that you've submitted to, it says, well, they have abused that. They wronged me. They hurt me. And so, no, I'm not going to keep opening myself up to that. I'm going to be guarded, and I'm no longer going to submit to that. And I'll go one step further, and I'll tell you this. Wives, you go home today, and you say, you know what, I'm going to put these principles into practice, and I'm going to be a submissive wife. I'm going to be a respectful helper. I can almost guarantee you that for many of you, if not most of you, you will not immediately feel the benefits of that good. It's like you have a disease, and someone gives you the cure. You take the medicine, immediately you go, did it work? I don't know. I don't feel any different. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not taking effect. Doesn't mean it's not working. Just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he's slow in keeping his promise. Doesn't mean he's a liar. He is faithful, and he has promised. You have to look past your husband and see Christ saying, I promised you, trust me. When you submit to your husband, it brings change. You're changed. Your husband has changed. Your marriage has changed for good. You're not relinquishing control to your husband. You're relinquishing control to Christ as Lord. Submit to him. Trust him. So that even if, regardless of whether your husband changes or not, God says, I will bless you. I will give you good. It may be through him, and it may not be. But I will bless you. It is for your good that you submit to your husband's headship. So when you submit to your husband, do it as to the Lord, knowing that he will graciously reward you. You need to fear Jesus enough to be utterly convinced that this gracious reward will only come to you if you joyfully submit to your husband. And it will definitely not come to you if you don't. You should be more afraid of disobeying and doubting the Lord Jesus than any other fear that might keep you from joyfully submitting to your husband. But what are some of these fears? I want to spend the rest of our time just kind of addressing just a few concerns or objections or fears that people might have in this thing of submission. My prayer is that by answering these questions, the Lord will bless you by helping you to be free to joyfully submit to your husband as to the Lord, or joyfully to submit to whatever authority God has placed over you. So here are some common objections or concerns or fears that people might have. I'm going to put them in form of a question. The first one is this: how can a wife submit to her husband without looking weak in the eyes of the world? Now, there's two ways to interpret this question. It could be asking, how does it make sense that being submissive is not being weak? Because I kind of feel like if I'm going to be submissive, that's just weakness. Can you help me make sense of that? Well, first, I would say this, that being a helper to your husband doesn't so much show your weakness as it shows your husband's weakness. When I need my wife's help, I'm showing my lack, my insufficiency, my dependency on her, my weakness, and say, I need, where you're strong, will you help me where I'm weak? It doesn't show a wife's weakness, it shows her husband's. But second, submission is not weakness because it is power. The very idea of it is power under control. It's power under control for a greater good. It's like harnessing all of the powerful emotions you have, all of the skills and talents and energy and knowledge and wisdom and more that you have, that God has given you, for the greatest good of your husband, your marriage, and your family. Let me ask you, which is greater? Which is stronger? You have this raw power, this brute force, or that which can control it and contain it and direct it? The controlling power is greater than this power, right? It has to be. It doesn't break out. It can't. You are to harness, you are to control, and you are to focus every power that God has given you for the good of your husband, the good of your marriage, which is also for your good unto God's glory. That's what it means to be a respectful helper, a submissive wife. That's not weakness. That is strength. But maybe that's not what's being asked. Maybe in asking the question, how do I submit to my husband in a way that doesn't look weak in the eyes of the world? Maybe you're asking this: how can you convince unbelievers that submission is not weakness? I mean, I know it's not weakness, but how do I convince them that it's not weakness? The proof is in the pudding. You have a marriage, and you have hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of marriages where husbands and wives are fulfilling their God-given role, and there is health, there is happiness, there is peace, and it is growing. Maybe not perfect, but it displays what it should display, and people will say, I might not like your methods, but I cannot deny your results. It takes years, decades of doing this. The proof will be in the pudding. But in another sense, how can you convince unbelievers that submission is not weakness? Sometimes you just can't. You just can't. You've got to be okay with that. You've got to be okay with the shame of appearing weak in the eyes of unbelievers. You have to be okay with appearing weak in the eyes of those who don't get that you are fearing Christ. We should fear displeasing and dishonoring and straying from our Lord way more than what other people think of us. Number two, a concern, fear, is that, well, this thing, idea of submission only works when you have a really godly Christian husband. But so what if he's not a believer? What if a Christian wife is married to someone who's not a believer? Well, Peter addresses this for us directly in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. He says, likewise, wives, be subject, same word for being submission, hupotasso, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that's do not believe in the gospel, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. If your husband is not a believer, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of him or his spiritual deadness or his lack of spiritual sensitivity. Fear Christ and submit to him by praying for him, because only God can save him. And pray for him because God can save him. Pray for him. And then share the gospel with him. When you have opportunities, don't be obnoxious or nagging, but share the gospel with. Pray for opportunities to do that. And pray for opportunities that others would do that. Share the gospel with your husband. And then adorn that gospel by how you live. Adorn that gospel by how you live with your husband and for his good. Because submission is powerfully winsome. Be a respectful helper to your husband. In doing so, you will reflect and represent Christ to him. And he'll get a picture of something of the gospel itself. And then trust the Lord to do his work in his time, in his way. I guarantee you, he's not done with you yet. He's not done with your husband yet. You know how I know? Because you're both still alive and you're still married. He's not done. He can and still may work wonders in your marriage, so don't give up hope. You may still win your husband yet. And remember, a wife's joyful submission to her husband always results in good. God is not limited or hindered by your husband, so don't be afraid of your husband's spiritual deficiencies, but fear Christ. For because of your fear of Christ, you have a solid hope in God's goodness to work through you for him and in you for your good. Number three, concern, objection, or fear is, what if he tells me to do something sinful, right? Like, this submission thing doesn't work then because there's a conflict. What if a husband tells his wife, you know what, if the boss calls, tell him I'm sick. I'm going to go play golf, but tell him I'm sick. Just put that number down on the tax form. It's fine. They're not going to audit us. What if a husband says, hey, we need to watch porn together because this is good for our marriage? If a husband tells his wife to do something sinful, what should she do? Wives, you are called to submit to your husband as to the Lord, which in part means that if you cannot submit to the Lord by doing what your husband asks, then you shouldn't do it. Your allegiance is first and foremost to your and to your husband's supreme Lord and judge. So no, you should not obey your husband when he commands something sinful, but you should still submit to him. That's what it says in verse 24, wives submit in everything to their husbands. Well, how does that work? If you don't do what he says, how are you to submit to him? Remember, submission is a heart issue. Submission is, as John Piper and Wayne Grudem have said, a wife's disposition to yield to her husband, her husband's guidance, and her inclination to follow his leadership. If you have the heart, the disposition, the inclination to follow him, that's a submissive heart. So you should always want to follow your husband's lead, even when you are unable to do so. So tell him that. I want to follow your lead, but if you lead me away from Christ, I fear him more than you, and I can't do that. This is still submission, though, because it is being a respectful helper to your husband. If you sin with him, you're not helping him, you're hurting him. And if you're hurting him and not helping him, then you're not respecting him, which in turn would mean that you're not being submissive to him. So be his respectful helper by fearing Christ. Number four, concern, objection, fear that often is that if you preach this idea of submission for wives, it has in the past and it will continue to let men be abusive to their wives. So what if a husband is abusive? Well, if you're here today and your husband is physically abusive, then get out of the house. You don't stay there. That's not being submissive to let him beat you. That's not being his helper. You get out of the house and you get help with the police, with your pastors, and you pray for him because God can change him. But you say, well, you know, he's not physically abusive. What if he's verbally abusive? Far more common. If he's verbally abusive, what should you do? First, I would say, check your own eye. Check and see if there's a log in your own eye before you remove the speck in his. Are you verbally abusive to him? Are you talking to each other in the same way? Maybe yes, maybe no, but pray for him. And then respectfully confront him. Well, let me tell you something, wives. I don't know where it came from, but there is this idea at times that people think, wives think, and maybe husbands have said, that being submissive always means being silent. You don't speak up. Can I tell you, that's not helping your husband. You have to respectfully help him. If that means if he's sinning, that means you confront him. You do it respectfully, humbly, just like as you would want somebody to do to you, but you confront him. And if you need help, you get help. We are here for you. Number five, question here is this fear of, but what if I'm smarter than he is? What if I'm better and just more competent than he is? This is probably a reality in a lot of areas for a lot of men in this church. You know what my answer is? Good. That's great. Then you have what it takes to be the best possible helper for him. My wife is better and smarter and more capable and more competent than I am in a lot of areas, and I need her for that. And if she shrinks back and goes, well, I guess I can't do anything because I'm not the head. She's abandoning her post when I need her most because I'm weak in that area, right? Be my respectful helper. That's what husbands should say. So even if he's not a naturally good or strong leader, that's okay. Don't undermine his leadership, but support him and respectfully help him where he's weak and you are strong. Do all that you can to help him be the best leader he can be by praying for him, encouraging him, holding him accountable in respectful and wise ways, offering your help without trying to take control, and in every other way, be his respectful helper. Number six, the fear of submission is, well, if I let him lead, if I let him be the head as he's supposed to be, then what if he's selfish? It's a valid concern because guess what? He is. So are you. Surprise! You're a sinner. You married a sinner. Like, that's the rub of marriage, right? It'd be so easy to submit to my husband if he were, you know, perfect. If you wait for that, you won't ever do it. You can't do it. So what do? If your husband is selfish, pray for him and pray for yourself and give him grace. Be patient with him, just as God in Christ gives you grace and is patient with you. And then show him what it is to be selfless. Don't let your fear of, oh no, my husband's going to be selfish. Don't let that keep you from being selfless. You know, we teach our kids this rule. We try to live by it with our coworkers and our neighbors. But somehow in marriage, we don't follow the golden rule or in traffic, right? Like someone's going to cut in front of you. No. If I let that happen, they're going to just keep doing it. They're going to take advantage of that. And at home, if I be selfless, then he's just going to walk all over me and be selfish the rest of our marriage. Says you, not Jesus. He says, do unto others, do to your husband what you want him to do for you. If you want him to be selfless, then you be selfless. You say, but he's going to take advantage of that. Don't fear his selfishness. Fear the Lord Christ. He is powerful enough over your husband. Again, you're not relinquishing control to him, but to Christ. You have to trust him in his ways. And when you need to confront him, again, check your own eye first. Make sure your selfishness is not the log and his is the speck. But then again, respectfully confront him in it. Say, I'm trying to submit to you, and I want to be joyful in it, but it feels like you're being selfish in this way. And if it continues, or if it's too much, then get help. Again, we are here for you. The church is here for you. And your pastors are here for you. Now, these are just a sampling of some of the concerns, some of the questions, some of the objections and fears that people might have that keep wives from committing to their husbands, from fully, consistently, growingly, joyfully submitting to their husbands. And there's just no way to cover all of them or even most of them, all the possible issues in one marriage. But I hope that in answering these questions and giving you these two big ideas, these two general principles of rightly viewing and valuing your husband's role as head and fearing Christ as Lord, I hope and I pray that they serve you well. May your valuing of your husband's position and your fear of Christ as Lord lead you to joyfully submit to him and receiving God's blessings for it. And for everyone here, I pray that your value of your of positions over you, along with your fear of Christ as Lord, may lead you to ever more joyfully submit to your leaders, all of them, for your good and God's glory. You know the beauty and the blessings of submission to earthly authorities can really only be seen and enjoyed from the vantage point of one who joyfully submits to Christ as Lord. It only works that way. The wisdom and the grace of God in giving us these distinct and necessary roles in marriage of headship and submission, they are inextricably tied to and they naturally flow out of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly embodied submission by going to the cross and by staying on there. when his father told him to. And these two roles of headship and submission find their origin and their purpose in the saving plan of God and the relationship of Christ with his bride, the church. And I love this one. I love this. Jesus purchased every blessing that sinners like us enjoy, including the blessings that he has promised when we joyfully submit and fulfill our God-given roles in marriage. Jesus died to give this to you. So this morning, as we come to partake of the communion meal together that points to the person and work of Jesus Christ, in the juice that represents the blood of Christ poured out for sinners, in the bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for sin, we have to be only coming in faith of all that he did, knowing that he has purchased our forgiveness, our freedom, our salvation, and every blessing. So this morning, if you're not trusting in Christ, this communion meal is not for you. And I plead with you to fear Christ, knowing that the only safe place from God in his wrath that you deserve is in Jesus Christ. You can come. I'll be in front of the stage here. And you can come and just say, I want to receive all that Christ is and all that he's done for me. I want to feel Christ. Or you can connect with me afterwards or another one of the leaders or just a fellow Christian around you afterwards. Put on a connection card and says, I want to talk more. Well, this morning, if you are trusting in Christ, if he is your hope, and you are fearing Christ and you want to do so more, then in just a moment, you can exit to the left, come up to one of these tables or go to the back of one of those and tear off a piece of bread, dip it in the juice and go back to your seat and take it with faith in all that Jesus is and all that he's done for you. And you can take it asking him, Jesus, help me to joyfully submit to you. Help me to fear you so that I fear nothing else. You pray that in faith and in humility. I promise you, it's a prayer that God wants to answer. If you had your faith affirmed by other Christians in baptism, you can come and take communion. And anybody, if you want prayer for anything, again, I'll be up here. And it'll be my joy to pray with you. Whenever you're ready, you may come.